produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, a very good day to you today, all our listeners, and I'm so pleased and privileged to be bringing you this program. It's our weekly program again, and I'm excited to be able to share the word of the Lord with you. The word of God is life transforming, it is life changing, it's a lamp unto our feet, it directs us and shows us which way to go. My name is Pearl Coupe, and it's a pleasure and privilege to be with you this week again. And on this week's program, I'm excited to be sharing with you a word that the Lord dropped in my spirit many years ago when I was going through my notes and messages. This message just popped up. It just, you know, spoke to me, and I felt like this is the message I need to share with you today. And it's a message that I shared many years ago. The title of the message at the time was Bir Lahai Roy. But the theme of what I want to talk to you about is the difference in knowing God and knowing about Him. There is a clear demarcation and difference in regard to knowing God. Many of us who say we know God actually don't really know God. And I mean, yes, one can even raise the question, is there any point where you can completely know God? And our journey in the Christian faith is a journey of getting to know Him more and more, revelationally, knowing more about Him, knowing more about His nature, knowing more about His character. So one can probably say there's no point where you completely know everything about God. But there certainly is a difference in terms of knowing Him, even at some level, and knowing about Him. And that's what I want to talk to us today about. I want to talk to us about knowing God, you know, at some dimension of knowing God and knowing about Him. Because many of us know very little, if anything at all, about our Lord and our Savior. We know, what we know is as a result of what we've been told by others. And many of us feed off of the testimonies of others. And the knowledge of what other people know about God, that is what we now adopt. And I want to encourage you that I pray that at the end of this message, you will be provoked and, you know, just encouraged and inspired to want to get to know more of God through the reading of His word, through spending more time with God in prayer, in communion. That is my prayer, that as I share this and share some principles from the Word of God around knowing God and knowing about Him, that you and I will both be motivated and inspired to search deeper and to want to enter into a deeper and more intimate relationship with God. And, you know, the account that I'm going to be sharing with you today is an account that we read about in Genesis 16. It is the story about Hagar, and who was an Egyptian maid. And I know most of you know and have heard about or read about Hagar. Hagar, like I said, was an Egyptian maid, and she was ultimately the mother of Ishmael. She was a maid or a servant who had been purchased in Egypt, and she served as a maid to Abraham and to his wife Sarah. And if you read the whole account, which is in Genesis 16 from verses 1 to 16, and then again you'll read more about Hagar in Genesis 21 from verse 8 to 21. If you read the whole account, you'll read the story about how they came into, she came into Abraham and Sarah's household. She lived in the same house as Abraham and Sarah. And in the course of living in the same house, it led her to know about, you know, their God, the God whom they served. However, what was interesting about this account is that Hagar did not know God. She did not know Him on a personal level. She knew about their God, but did not know Him on a personal level until a certain you know, event happened. And the story of Hagar is a story where she now got to meet God for herself. So this is the foundational scriptures that I will be looking at. We'll be looking at the account of Hagar to see what is the distinction between knowing God or knowing some aspect or dimension of God and knowing about him. And we're using Hagar's experience with God as an example. At the end of it, I really want us to just sit and pause. The word Selah means stop, meditate, pause. I want us to pause and think about what this word has spoken to us and ask ourselves the question, you know, is there really any strong connection? Do I have a spirit connection, a heart connection with God? Am I in a relationship with him? Or am I serving him and in a relationship with him on the basis of what others have said about him? So this is a challenge and a message that I want us to inculcate and apply to our own lives and ask us that critical question. Is it that I've heard about God through my parents or through some other person, and I'm now bringing their bringing their experience and what they've said about God in my relationship with God? Or is my knowledge of God based on an intimate relationship with him? Praise the Lord. So as I've said, beloveds, there's a phenomenal difference in knowing about God and in knowing him at a certain dimension or a certain level. Now, let's just even think, let's bring it down to everyday kind of, you know, everyday occurrences. Many of us know the president. And if you're living in South Africa like I am, then your president will be President Cyril Ramaphosa. So many of us know of the president. We know him, but very few of us have actually met him. Very few of us know who he is. We see him on television. We hear him on the radio. We've watched him, but most South African citizens know about him, but they don't know him. They don't know his character. They don't know his behavior. They don't know a lot of his mannerisms. They've never interacted with him. They don't have a personal relationship with him, but they know of him. They know about him. And some of us may even be privileged to have met him once or twice. You know, I've had that privilege. But even then, having had the privilege of you know, having met him and worked with him, even at a certain level, that still would not qualify me to say that I know him. So to know him, to know God, to know even the president of South Africa or any other president, to know a person, to know him, you must have a relationship with him. There must be a relationship with him. And so anybody who would even dare to say, I have some knowledge of God, you cannot say that. We cannot say that unless we have some relationship with God, a consistent relationship with God. So do we speak to him consistently? Do you speak to God consistently? Do you know what he likes? Do you know what he dislikes? Because whenever you have a relationship with somebody, you will know what they like and you will not know what they don't like. And if really it's an intimate relationship, if it's a close relationship, if it's a loving relationship, you would never want to do or say anything that that other person, you know, that they don't like that. You know that this is not in line with what they like or dislike. So you would not want to hurt somebody that you're in a relationship with. Do you know what God likes? Do you know what he dislikes? God said in his word, he said that, you know, those who love him will keep his commandments. So we don't keep his commandments out of fear. We don't keep them out of intimidation. We don't keep those commandments legalistically wanting to obey the letter of the law. But the agenda, the motive, and the reason for us keeping the commandments are because, first and foremost, because we love him. We keep his commandments out of love. And secondly, we keep his commandments because we know
that his commandments are what preserve our lives. When we begin to obey him, when we begin to line up with his will, that is what preserves our life. That is what connects us to the blessings, because blessings are also connected to obedience to his word. He always says that in his word, you know, my people who are called by my name. And he talks about that. And then he says, if you will turn from your wicked ways, seek my face and begin to, you know, just pray, then I will heal your land. So there is a condition that God actually puts in terms of connecting us to blessings. And he tells us, even in Deuteronomy, that I've placed before you life and death, blessings and curses. And then he tells us what to do. Then he says, you know, make a choice, choose life, choose life. And so we understand that. We understand that. So part of knowing God means that we know also what he likes, because we've read the word of God. We know what he dislikes. And because we have a loving relationship with him, and because we love him, we desire to do what he has told us to do. And we desire to do it out of love, and to do it because it will preserve our own lives and ensure that we live the maximized life in Yeshua. So we're still talking about Hagar, and we're still talking about the difference between knowing God, or knowing some aspect of God and some dimension of God, and knowing about him. About him. In Genesis 16 verse 13, this is what the scripture reads like. It says, "And she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, Thou art a God of seeing. For she said, Have I even here seen him that seeth me? Have I even here seen him that seeth me?" Wow, my God, this was an encounter that Hagar was having, seeing God. And of course, she said this in a time where she was in a wilderness, in a time where she'd given up. She'd been thrown out of the house as somebody who was pregnant. Because remember that Sarah, now being childless at that point, gave her maid, who was Hagar, to her husband Abraham. You know, she didn't trust God enough. She appointed herself as deputy God, and God had already given her the promise. God had spoken to Sarah, and God had told Sarah, listen, there is a child of promise, there is a seed of promise. And many times we get out of God's will because we take our eyes off of Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, that God has given us a promise, and we see our own weakly limitations. And when you take your eyes off Yeshua, who is now the one who determines our faith, when you take your eyes off of him, that's when you begin to sink into the water like Peter. Peter, during the time of the storm, Peter was told, keep your eyes on me. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at the circumstances, but keep your eyes on me. And for as long as Peter kept his eyes on Yeshua, then Peter was above the storm. Peter was not sinking. And Sarah was not able to keep her eyes on Yeshua. And as a result, she gave her maid to her husband. To her husband to say, you sleep. I don't see how this is possible. Looking at my weaknesses, looking at the weaknesses of my womb, looking at my biological limitations, looking at my age, I don't see how it's going to be earthly and humanly possible for me to bear this heir of promise, this child of promise, that Isaac, that God had said that he was going to give to Abraham and Sarah. And because of that, she disobeyed God and brought forth an Ishmael. And we all know that what Ishmael represents today, and the descendants of Ishmael, that's another teaching for another day. I don't want to talk too much about that. But here, the same Egyptian handmaid who had now gotten pregnant, who had gotten pregnant with Abraham's child, is now thrown out because Sarah is now upset with her. Hagar is now filled with pride that she's bearing a child of Abraham, and she and Sarah, there's now tension in the house. There's tension in the house because there's a competition for the affection of Abraham. There's tension, there's rivalry, there's competition, and ultimately it resulted in Sarah's throwing her out. And we see this account where Hagar is now thrown out of the house in the wilderness. And Hagar is in despair. And it's in that time of despair, that, you know, when Hagar is feeling forsaken, she's feeling lonely, it's in that time of despair that she met God. And this is the statement she made. And she said, she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her. Thou art a God of seeing. For she said, have I even here seen him that sees me? You know, oftentimes it's times of loneliness, times of despair, when we think that everybody has abandoned us. Those are opportunities for us to see God. Sometimes God will actually effectively remove those things that we have relied on, those people that we've relied on. Sometimes there are people in your lives that can stop you and hinder you from seeing God for yourself. I was sharing previously, you know, some time ago, that one of the things I learned to do is to prayerfully ask God who I should give to. Who should I give to? Because sometimes we can give to people who don't appreciate. Sometimes we can give to people just, you know, using carnal senses. And sometimes that giving doesn't bless people. And if we're not careful, sometimes we can create a dependency on the human being. And what we always need to be careful of is ensuring that we understand that we do not replace God in our giving. So it was very, very important to know that, listen, let's make sure that our eyes are on God. Let's make sure that our hope is in God, that we understand that it's God who is the provider. So we have a scenario here with Hagar, who is now out there, and she's been depending on Abraham. She's been depending on Sarah. They were her bosses. They were her employers. They were the ones who were feeding her. They were the ones who were housing her. They were the ones who were ensuring that she had a roof over her head. And now she was out there. There was no Abraham. There was no Sarah. And she had to look unto God. This is how she met God. And so I want to encourage you that even if you're in this time of loneliness, you know, we are in a time still of lockdown, of COVID, you may feel abandoned. You may feel like there's nobody there for you. You may feel like your friends have left you, or people who helped you previously are not there for you. Let me tell you, this is a time to seek God. This is a time to know him at a greater level. I recall the story of Joseph, and Joseph was in a pit. In a pit, abandoned by his brothers, his older brothers who threw him in a pit. It was part of his journey of getting to know God at a deeper level. In a dark pit where there's no mom or dad to help, where there are no big brothers to help me, but he was there, and it gave him an opportunity to seek God deeper in prayer, to seek him deeper in worship, to know God for himself. And so Hagar was in a wilderness, a place where the only place she could cry out was to God. The only place where she could now completely meet God and submit to God, in a place of wilderness. So don't let that place of wilderness take you out. Don't let it bring you into a place of despair where you come into a pity party and you think, woe is me, and you start to become suicidal and you start to want to die. Allow that place of wilderness to bring you closer to God so that you can hear God without any interference. You can hear God without any distraction. You can hear God. There's no TV there. There's no radio there. There's no distracting voices. There are no distracting noises. But you're in a place of wilderness where your ears are open to hearing God and your eyes are open to seeing God. May that be our portion, even in this time of lockdown. If you feel that you've been abandoned or isolated, may it be an opportunity for you to hear God and see God as never before. I've heard so many testimonies already from people who I know who've actually entered entered into a time of knowing God better in this time. You know, previously when they were in their busy time, they had such a hectic time running up and down on different assignments that they didn't have time for God. But now, in this time of lockdown, there's time to reflect on God. There's time to talk to God, and it's deepened their relationship with God, where they're reflecting and talking to him in the morning and talking to him in the nighttime and talking to him throughout the day. It's deepened their relationship with God. So that is my prayer for you and I, that even in this lockdown time, we'll get to know more about God, knowing him intimately on a one-on-one relationship. Hagar said, "Have I even here seen him that seeth me?" So she came to a place where she discovered and realized that this God, who I knew as the God of Abraham and the God of Sarah, now, did I even know him? Have I even seen him? Now she's coming to a place of personal knowledge, personal acknowledgement, personal revelation of seeing God for herself, not seeing him through her employers, not seeing him through Abraham's eyes, not seeing him through Sarah's eyes, but coming to a place where she meets God. She has an encounter with God and can now know God for herself. As an Egyptian maid, she can now experience God and encounter him for herself. Now she's calling the name of the Lord. Previously, she called him as the God of Abraham, the God of Sarah, but now she's calling him personally in her personal right. May God bring us to that place where we relate to God in our personal right, having had a personal encounter with him and a personal experience to him. In Genesis 16:14, you know, this is what we read about that scripture. And this is where now Hagar herself is talking, and she names a place. She comes to a place called Bir Lahai Roy. Bir Lahai Roy. And she names it. And if you do an etymology of the word Bir Lahai Roy, it actually means the well of the one who sees me. The well of the one who sees. So when you come to a place like that, Bir Lahai Roy, it means that you are coming to a place of knowing God personally. Bir Lahai Roy, he's the living one. You discover that God is alive. He's the one who can see you. He sees every circumstance. You know, this is one of the most powerful revelations that has ever spoken to me, in terms of knowing God and understanding him from his capacity, his name, El Roy. Bir Lahai Roy, the well of the one who sees. And El Roy is one of the Hebrew names, which means God who sees. El always stands for God. Roy stands for the one who sees. So El Roy is the one who sees. And this knowledge of knowing that God sees everything is something that has kept me in my 37 years of salvation. It is a knowledge that has really kept me going, kept me encouraged, kept me inspired, is knowing that God sees every challenge that I go through, and knowing that even as he sees it, he's not going to forsake nor leave me. It has kept me in many, many instances. It has kept me strong, knowing that God knows my issues. He knows my challenges. He will not forsake nor leave me, that God will provide for me even in this lockdown. That knowledge of knowing that he sees, and he knew this lockdown was coming. So whatever challenges are confronting us, whether they're financial challenges, the aspect of knowing that he's El Roy, he sees and he knows, and he will provide even during the challenging times, is what will keep you, knowing that he's a God who sees. Knowing that he's a God who sees. Hallelujah. It will keep you in terms of grace when there are times that, you know, you feel even tempted, because every one of us will come to that place where you feel tempted. It's something, again, that has also kept me. Whenever I felt tempted in any way, where that temptation, the enemy will try to come in and tempt you in a particular way. Again, the aspect of knowing that he's God who sees. Do I really want to hurt God by doing this? He sees everything I do. He knows everything I do. It's something also that has preserved me and kept me wanting to walk in righteousness and kept me wanting to walk in his ways, because I know that God sees me in everything I do. And do I really want on to hurt the one who loves me, hurt the one who has chartered a path for me to walk. So for my good, not for his own good, but for my good. And so the aspect of knowing that God sees and knows everything is an aspect that's very important. Do you know him as El Roy? Do you know him as El Roy? Do you know him personally? Do you know that he's alive? Do you know that he's not a dead God, but that he's alive? In one of the Asian countries I visited many, many years ago, I remember going to this Asian country and just taking a walk. And in every one of the yards that was there, they had their God in there. They had a Buddha out there, and they would worship their Buddha in the yards. They would have a statue of their Buddha and worship him there in the yards. But, you know, one of the things I found when I was taking a walk is that on one of these days it was raining. And as it was raining, I saw many of the people in their yards running out to go and collect Buddha and bring him inside, you know. And what was happening was they were literally rescuing Buddha. They didn't want Buddha to be outside in the rain. And I remember saying to myself that, wow, I said, God, I'm so glad that you are creator. You have created me, and that I don't have to rescue you, because you are the one who rescues me. I don't need to pull you out of the rain. I don't need to rescue you out of the rain, because as creator, you created the rain. And so I don't need to rescue you, because I am creation and you are the one to rescue me. God is alive. He hears you. So when you understand and know him as El Roy, you understand that he is alive. And because he's alive, he hears you. When you know him as El Roy, you also hear him. When you know him as El Roy, you also begin to see him. So when you come to that place of Bir Lahai Roy, the well of the one who sees, you now begin to hear God for yourself. You don't have to solely depend on sermons from your pastor, because you can hear God for yourself. You have revelation and understanding. You identify his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. So you can hear God for yourself. You're no longer solely dependent on sermons from your pastor or prayers for your pastor. That the pastors can still pray for us, but you also can hear God for yourself, and you can speak to him directly and listen to him. This is what happens when we begin to know him as El Roy, when we get to that place of Bir Lahai Roy, when we begin to get into that dimension of knowing God for ourselves instead of knowing him as somebody else's God, the God of my pastor, the God of Abraham, the God of Sarah, the God of my apostle, but knowing him for ourselves, knowing him for ourselves. Hallelujah. We bless God. We bless God. I want to encourage you with this word and say that because he's alive, he can also see you, El Roy. He has seen your every affliction. He has seen your every challenge. Hallelujah. And in this season, this is a great season. In this wilderness, you may be in a wilderness like Hagar herself. It's a great time to know God. It's a great time to know a greater dimension of God, a great time to have a greater revelation of who he is, a great time to enter into a more intimate relationship with him. Bir Lahai Roy is a well. It's a well, and a well is a place of refreshing. A well is a place of resurrection. The well will resurrect you. The well will quench the thirst in you. And so come to that place of Bir Lahai Roy, where you'll be refreshed in the knowledge of knowing God at a greater level, at a greater dimension. Come to that place of Bir Lahai Roy, where you can get to know God for yourself and not just through other people's experience. I want to close with a personal testimony. I grew up in a Christian home. You know, my parents were believers, and I grew up going to church. I always say you can't go to church because you are the church, but we would go to services, you know, on Sundays and dress up. And I grew up in that kind of a home. My grandfather, my mother's father, was the first lay preacher. He would go on his horse, and he was an evangelist, and he knew the Bible from memory. He didn't speak English, but he knew the Bible from memory and would preach. the Bible and go around on his horse. He couldn't read or write, but he had memorized the Bible, and he would go around through the villages and the region preaching the gospel. And my mother and her siblings were raised as staunch Christians and believers, and she raised me also as one. But you know, I had to come to a point of knowing God for myself. And thank God that moment came in 1983, January 1983, when I had a personal encounter and experience with God for myself 37 years ago. I'll never forget it. He came to me in a dream after I'd come from a particularly, you know, hectic party. And after coming from there, he came to me in a dream, and he began to speak to me. And from that moment on, I began to know God for myself. He wasn't the God of my mother, wasn't the God of my father, wasn't the God of my parents. It wasn't even the God of my grandfather, evangelist, but he became my personal savior. I began to know him as my Lord and my savior. And that's my encouragement to you as I leave you with this word. Let's know God for ourselves. Let's not rely on just other people's experiences or other people's revelation or other people's knowledge about him. But come to that place of Bir Lahai Roy, the well of the one who sees. Come to understanding God as El Roy, the one who sees you, the one who hears you, the one who knows you, and come to a place of desiring more of him. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I thank God for this opportunity. Looking forward to chatting and seeing you again next week. God bless you real good. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
SKM, Shimikuti Ministries International Radio Network. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia. On our Western Standard Time, coming to you weekly. And we are continuing with a topic that is critical and very crucial in our time. When you are listening to this, these are days of the pandemic. It's a global pandemic. It's a virus that has managed to shut down big and small companies, big and small churches. What is the hope families, communities, nations, government, heads of states, when all this has befallen us? Sounds like Gideon, when an angel has found him threshing wheat at the wine press. How dare you say God is with us when this pandemic has befallen us? Judges chapter 6. How dare you say God is with me when the virus is spreading everywhere? Every day of new cases and clusters spiking everywhere. But I want you to understand, if you are part of the system that I'm involved in, just shout with me right now, wherever you are, whether you are listening to this broadcast on your radio, in your car, at home, in your office. Shout with me and say, it's in the system. What do we mean when we declare it's in the system? Because in Christianity, it is the only religion. Allow me to say that. I know Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. But allow me to say to you, let's put it where they put it. It is the only religion among all other religions where the believed does not control the believer from outside. It's only in Christianity where the believed controls the believer inside the believer. Because in other religions, their founders, their prophets are outside the believers. Still, they expect to be believed by the believers, even though we know where their graves are and their bones are still there. But only in Christianity, the believed lives within the believer to control, to ascertain, to guide, to guard, to protect, and to give peace to the believer. I thank God I am a believer. And as a believer, I thank God that I believe in the one. I don't have to search for and grope in darkness, because he lives within me. Jehovah Shammah, God who never goes, never comes, doesn't expire, but is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I present you, in Christianity, your solutions are locked within the system. Your joy is locked in the system. Your power is locked within the system. Your authority is locked within the system. You don't have to look anywhere else. 20 and verse 7 of the book of Psalms, it declares, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I trust in the name of the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I thank God for the God that I believe in. I thank God for his power and his authority upon my life. I thank God to a God who doesn't change, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I come before you, therefore, declaring to you and assuring you that with this pandemic, greater is he that is inside of you. The believed one lives within the believer, controlling, navigating their ways, making them prosperous, going through potholes, crossing the rivers, top the mountains and the valleys. Ha! His name is Jehovah God, the man of war. So allow me, therefore, to say to you, Matthew chapter 16, he has declared, but I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Father, I thank you, because you are building a church. You are building a people of power. You are building a people of authority. You are building a people that will not move away from that which you have created them to be. Join me, therefore, as we trek together. The Japanese love their raw fish. The various method when the fishermen go out there for deep sea fishing and they come back home with caught fish. In order for them to preserve the salmon fish when they bring it home, it is important for the Japanese that the fish be lively when it's being killed, when it's being slaughtered, when they cut it, when they open it up after they catch it. It must be live. Because the Japanese believe If it is not lively, not only does it supply the nutrients it is supposed to supply to our bodies. Fishermen often go out, and when they come back, they have tanks on their sea vessels. These tanks have enough water, and they put the codfish live. But because the fish in the tank and the fish that is out there in the sea behaves differently. They sense the controls around them, and therefore they behave a bit slower, a bit sluggish. By the time when they sell it for food, it's not so good, because hours and hours of traveling into land slows, makes the codfish not lively. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it is oftentimes the catfish under the sea and the sharks in the sea that makes the codfish to flex their muscles, become energetic as they run away from the sharks and the catfish. Japanese, as they explain this story to me, they say, because of that, they catch some of the catfish. Uh-oh. I can hear you say. And? Yeah. Put the catfish in the tank. They catch the sharks. The smaller version. Throw them into their tank. Take the codfish. Put them inside the tank and allow the red dress, the survival of the fittest, to begin to operate. Always happens. By the time when they sell the codfish, because of the flight and fight, because of the adrenaline system within the codfish running away from the catfish, and from the sharks in the tank, benefits the Japanese people to eat it lively. Ladies and gentlemen, it's in the system. The authority that you have been given as a human being, as a child of God, it's in the system. The peace, the joy, the love has already been packaged and has been put in the system. You and I don't need to worry about our tomorrow. Matthew 6 and verse 33, the Bible declares, seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness. No, these things shall be added unto you. It's in the system. In the system of the kingdom, you don't look for things. Things will look after you. But if you look for the kingdom of God, within the system of the kingdom, God has put solutions to your problems, answers to your questions, joy to your sorrows, happiness to your pain. It's in the system. It's in the system where God will intervene and begin to show forth himself that he's a mighty man of war, and he will fight for you. Jesus, you are the name that has been given to me. Jesus, you are the name that has been given to me. There is no any other name by which I can be saved. There is no any other authority by which I can be saved. But the name of Jesus Christ is all I have. As I look into the future and as we look ahead where you are going, 2020, 2021, not knowing exactly what is to take place, all we have is the name of Jesus. God put the authority in the stick to make liquid become solid. God put authority in the stick for water to come out of the rock. God put authority in the stick for the stick produce frogs. God put authority in the stick for lice to infiltrate the whole of Egypt. God put authority, invested that authority in the stick for the water to turn into blood. God put authority in the stick for Moses and the children of Israel to see signs and wonders. But I'm here to say to you that even as we walk with God, Jesus has been given as the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Coronavirus bows to the name of Jesus. Demonic systems bow to the name of Jesus. Principalities and powers bow to the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the name that has been given to me above all other names, the name of Jesus. Families that are broken, Jesus is the answer. Families that are dying, Jesus is the answer. He is the snake that was lifted up in the wilderness. When Moses lifted it up in the wilderness, all those who looked upon that snake on the brazen oath, on the brazen stick, they were made whole. I thank God for Jesus. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes I've got questions more than answers. But I thank God for the power of the name of Jesus. That as I call upon the name of Jesus, I know that nothing shall stand before me. My victory is in the name of Jesus. My power is in the name of Jesus. Therefore, Father, I thank you. As I call upon the name of Jesus, that I know I'm victorious. As I call upon the name of Jesus, nothing shall stand in front of me. As I call upon the name of Jesus, I continue to walk in victory and power. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I honor your name. I thank you for the name of Jesus. I thank you that the church of Jesus Christ is built by Jesus himself. I thank you that Jesus, you are the builder of your church. I thank you that Jesus, what you build is durable. I thank you that Jesus, what you build can stand the test of times. Jesus, I thank you. What you build cannot be destroyed. Jesus, I thank you that what you build, Lord, it is victorious. Jesus, I thank you that I can call upon you at any other time. And as I call upon your name, I thank you for the victory that you give me. I thank you that, God, I can march in victory because the name of Jesus is the name above every other name. The name of Jesus is all that I have upon my life. The name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. Kitaraba sandaraba kataya. Mando robo koto torobo sikia. Shirando robo koto torobo koyandaya. Mando robo koto torobo sakaya. Murundu robo koto torobo kosaya. God, God Almighty, you rule and you reign. You rule and reign over our lives. You rule and reign. You rule and reign over every atmosphere. You rule and reign. You rule and reign over anything that is called impossible. You rule and reign. And therefore let the earth rejoice. Because Jesus rules and he reigns. Thank you, Father, for the name of Jesus that rules and reigns upon our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will never change. When we call upon you, we see your hand of victory. When we call upon you, we see what you're able to do. God is able to do exceedingly, to do abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. Thank you, therefore, that the name of Jesus has been given to us, that for all who call upon his name, they shall be saved. I thank you for healing in my body, for deliverance in our bones. Father, I pray for as many that are crying to you in these times of the pandemic, not knowing what to do and where to go. I thank you for the authority of the name of Jesus. I thank you that for us, sometimes it's like we are losing. Sometimes it seems as if the devil is winning. But I thank you, Father, for authority that is in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray. Allow me, Lord God Almighty, to understand more and more. Reveal unto me the power that is in the name of Jesus. No enemy can stand in front of us. No enemy can stand in front of anybody as we call upon the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, bring a revelation of understanding the power that is in the name of Jesus. Because when we call upon your name, we get our victory. When we call upon your name, we get our answers. When we call upon your name, Lord, we are victorious. When we call upon your name, nothing shall stand in front of us. When we call upon your name, we shall see your power, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for victory. Armadale and Gosnells, your cities and our cities, they all belong to Jesus Christ. Whatever we do and we call on the name of Jesus, we are guaranteed we shall walk in power and victory. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing. Thank you, Father, for the power of the cross. Thank you, Father, for he who died. Thank you, Father, for the death on the cross brought us victory and brought us joy. The death on the cross delivered us from every attack of the enemy. The death on the cross gave us what we did not have. The death on the cross gave us power and authority. The death on the cross make us to walk victoriously. The death on the cross make us to stand against witchcraft. The death on the cross make us to stand against every attack of the wicked one. The death on the cross. Father, we thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. That on the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross, when it was shed for my power and my victory and my freedom. It was shed for my success. Today, therefore, I lift up my hands unto you and I say, dear God and Father God, who else do I have besides you? Who else can save me if you don't save me? Who else do I have if I don't call upon you, Jesus? Father, I pray now in Jesus' mighty name. I pray that God let your name continue to be lifted up in these nations. Let the nations rage, because Jehovah God, the King of Glory, is marching on. The King of Glory is opening up the gates. The King of Glory is victorious. The King of Glory has got authority over all. I pray for all families that have been affected. I pray for all individuals that have been affected. I pray for those who are survivors in this system. Let them understand there is nothing else that can save us but the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the name of Jesus. That the name of Jesus Christ is all we have that we can call upon. The name of Jesus Christ, it is the charm, it is the power that charms our fears. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you for a life of power. Thank you for a life of victory. Thank you for a life of authority. Thank you that God Almighty, when we have you on our side, nothing can stand in front of us. I glorify your name, Lord Jesus. I glorify your name because you are a wonderful God. In Jesus' mighty name. Ratokostakamayanda. I worship you, Father, in the beauty of your holiness. Thank you for that which you have done. Thank you for that which you are building in our lives, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name, I honor you right now, oh my Father, that God, even, oh God, in this program, I thank you for SKM. I thank you, Lord God, for Shimikori Ministries International Radio Network. I thank you for Kayla Paget. I thank you for your hand over your life. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the burden for souls upon your life. I declare right now she'll rise above. She'll continue to see the mighty hand of God over her life. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah to your name, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you once again. Shimikoti Ministries here. Apostle Josh Moyo. We have been declaring, decreeing, revoking every forces of darkness against your life. You walk in victory. You walk in power. Don't be afraid of anything, because the power of the living God resides in you. He will lead us and he will guide us beyond 2020, 2021, because he's a mighty man of war. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Produced by Caleb Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.